certain basic commandments and things that the people had to do. And Ezra added not to the word of the Lord, because he could just take the word of God and not to, from various portions of Scripture, and it would be perfectly the word of God because there was no change in it. And as the people came back and they found the, in the temple of the Lord, they found the law of God written, and they were utterly amazed at the fact that they found this book that had been lost for so many years. And they themselves, therefore, were greatly in error by what they believed from all the interjections made by the, especially the wives of Solomon and, you know, the ritzy crowd that they had more time than they had brains to use. And so they indulged themselves in illicit love affairs and idolatry and everything else along with their adulteries. So it was a very, it was a tremendous letdown to find out that they were billions of miles off the word of God, and of course it's how superficial and shallow it all was in the light of the actual word that was read by the scribes of the people. And anyway, in Ezra 8 chapter, there's a verse that mentions there, the commandment. He said, let the priest go between the porch and the altar, weeping and confessing his own sins and the sins of the people. Now, the actual fact of the matter is that the sin is unbelief, that it's only one, and faith is a revelation. The only thing that a person would be in sympathy and 100% concerned with confessing would be coming to the place of repentance where he knew he was off the word of God and would faithfully ask the Lord to forgive him and begin to walk in the light. The Bible says to do is he the light and that fellows from another, but it is Christ God's Son. Repenting us from all unrighteousness. Now, this does not obviate for 1 minute the fact that people do sin. As John said, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. But he said, if we sin, then we pay for God to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, it says, confess your faults. James says, and the word fault is like a fault of a earthquake fault, which means an area which is flimsy, which could slide here and slide there, and, you know, throw the people away from being truly anchored and stabilized and foundationalized. But the scripture is full of admonitions for people to examine themselves in the light of the word. And especially in this hour today. Now, you don't go to the place where you become legalist and you become looking at yourself to where you, look at yourself to finally get fed up and there's no pleasure in life. It's like the years ago they told this joke about this prayer. It was supposed to be actually true, but I don't really know if it was or not. But man kept praying. He said, for the Lord to fill him up. And he's all so empty. And so this woman got so disgusted hearing him pray about that. She said, oh Lord, just stop all the leaks. And you know, that's a lot of truth there. The thing is, if where are the leaks in life? What do we find? There really is the embarrassing situation before the Lord. That's where James says, confess your faults. What are those weaknesses? Now, it doesn't mean to simply go around confessing and say, now look, I want to tell you something. I've had this terrible propensity to tell fibbers or to, you know, like the woman went to Moody. She said, oh, Brother Moody, I have a terrible time. I always exaggerate. What I do, he said, well, madam, just call it lying. Just call it lying. And, you know, these are the things that you have to watch that Ezra's bringing out is to an examination. It isn't, as Brother Branham said, smoking is not a sin, and drinking is not a sin, lying is not the sin, stealing is not the sin. He said that the sin is unbelief. Those are just attributes. Well, now, the point is, we believe that we do pray sincerely that the Lord, as we recognize our weaknesses, begin to ask the Lord not for help to overcome, but would be more necessary to ask him to bring us to the point where we will overcome with what he's given us. Because I don't know any, I've heard of people telling me how that when they were a sinner that God just took away this, took away this, that. I really don't find any scripture that. Now, Brother Branham said after he got converted, and I don't doubt his testimony for one little bit, how that from that point on he didn't have such a terrible time with his anger. Well, it might have been that one thing God had to do for him, and so he would learn from that point to overcome all the rest. But I personally do not find any scripture where God takes away those temptations and takes away our propensities. He forgives us, but I don't know any place that's like Paul himself said, therefore put off the old man, put off doing this, put off doing that. And it doesn't mean put it off and then do it a little later on, nobody watches it. Because that's the way people often interpret scripture too, maybe. Like they interpret, used to read the book of Ephesians, let him that steals stone no more, but let him ride the basic fancy that was good. So they said, let him that stole steal. See, no more laboring with his hands. See, well, you can take any scripture you want, and you can pervert it to where you can destroy yourself. So it's very important to know what Ezra was saying. The priest, he said, going between the porch and all the weeping, confessing these sins and the sins of the people. And that was the big thing right there, that they had found the word, and now they found that all of their thinking was wrong, consequently their worship was wrong, consequently many things that they thought were okay were not okay in the light of that word. So, prayer meeting in the church is greatly concerned. And you're right back where Brother Branham put us. We're greatly concerned not trying to get God to change his mind or getting God to do something, but is putting ourselves in a position where God can help us by his word, our consecration, dedication, to see that we not only walk in the light as to the passive thing, but attempt also with his grace to walk in the light by reason of our active faith. Now, your most active faith is not going to be for you and me to pray for the sick and pray for this and pray for that and see how nice God works. He will help this sister over here. He'll help their brother over there. That is not it at all. The actual fact of the matter is, we didn't get this far in maybe Brother Brown's message, but we could be in the hour that Jesus said, you will no longer ask the Father in my name. In other words, you will be so one with the Word that, as Brother Branham told Jack Palmer, Jack, you don't ask God. Just get away from that. But he said, you begin to live before him in that Word and watch God begin to do things. Now, that's what we're looking at more than anything in this message. The legalist will always try to add to it or try to put something to it or try to do something. The man that's truly liberated will say, Lord, I've learned this one thing, and that is that all power is of God, and if I want you working in my life, I've got to come to the place where I am so dedicated or so in oneness with you and your word that this life will begin to flow through me. Now, Pentecostal people got into close closets. Actually, some people locked themselves in and refused to budge until they came up with gifts. A.A. Allen was one of those people, but he died a drunk. The very day that he died under alcoholism, is when there was people were saying, Allen is dead. Allen's dead. And that very day that he died in alcoholism in California, that tape was on the air saying, he said, people say I'm dead. Does this sound like the voice of a dead man? It came right back to mind. See, pushing for things is not the answer. Get saturated with the Word of God. Believe what that Word says. That's not passive. We're going past the passive now. We're going to the active. And the active is not you and I forcing issues, but looking, what has God said about all of these conditions? Is there something in here where I can take my attitude right? And if there's something to do in cooperation with him helping me, working with me, I might make certain moves. And that is the way that we must learn to do. So there's a great deal of repentance and confession in this last day message. And we're right back to where I believe Ezra was and Nehemiah, those men of God. So we did pray today. Again, it's every scripture indicates that we're not trying to change God's mind. We're trying to get in a position where God has changed our mind. Then, when God has changed our mind, then we really know and stand at this word. Brother Graham said that you confess that word. And he said, you stay with that. He said, the day will come when that word, God by that word, will make your body obey your testimony. So these are some of the things that I just wanted to bring to your attention. I've been all through the gamut of work, you know, and all of those things, and it just is not the principle that we come at any time and think we're going to win souls, we're going to add to the church, we're going to bulldoze the kingdom of God. Like the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, a violent ticket by force. What does that actually mean? You can have 100 interpretations, 100 different views. What does it really mean? I don't know what it means. I don't know. The only one I can think of is the Lord at the end time, waking as a strong man from his sleep, violently angry now at the conditions and coming down and shaking everything up. But for you and me to attempt to come to a place where we can go shakers and movers is not the thing. It always comes back to where we are keeping in constant touch with the Lord through that word that he's given us and bring ourselves under his subjection more and more and more, so that our sowing is going to be one with that word and our reaping one of that word. And that's why the Bible says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his word that he meditate day and night. He's like that tree planted by the water. And this is the same as the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Being my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And he watches over me. This is what we're speaking of when the Lord descends at the end time, which he has with these mighty angels, to avenge his bride. And he said, you then at that time you rest with us. You come to relaxation. You already know if live, die, sink, or swim. But this is now the relaxation in God's moving in our lives and us living those Christian lives and receiving the blessings of the Lord. So don't strive for mastery. Don't strive for things. Strive within yourself to keep our spirits down and to do what the Word says, to sow with the Word. And then the Bible said, as you patiently wait, do not fear. God will bring that back to you, what you've sown with that Word, because His Word cannot return void. So, all right, that's what we have in mind today. That's what I thought of. Thinking of Ezra, telling the people, here's the Word been here all the time, but nobody knew what. It was hidden. The seventh seal hid that word. Now they're open. And so the point is the contriteness in our heart, the broken spirit that he does not despise, the neck that is not stiffened, the heart that is not hardened, with the open yieldedness to God, knowing that our sufficiency is of him, putting ourselves more and more into his hands, and these difficult problems, a difficult walk, many things are very difficult, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You will not get through this life without difficulty. You will not get through this life without your back being bent, your neck being unstiffened. You'll never get through it. You cannot get through this life without your heart. Sometimes you might say, well, you get old, you get soft. No, that isn't it at all. The point is, God never intended either young or old to ever be stiff toward him. But learning to bear the yoke in our youth, remembering him in the days of our youth, the constant remembering of the Lord, like Israel did, and constantly being tender toward him, I believe that this is going to be the great secret of every single thing that we're looking for. But we have to look for it in this particular way. So let's bow our heads in prayer, then we'll go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the little time we have of talking together, knowing, Lord, that every one of your disciples, every one, Lord, that reaped in righteousness had to sow in righteousness, Lord. Those that reaped, sowed in iniquity, they reaped that which is iniquitous. And they were very, very accountable. And so we pray that you'll give us a contrite heart, Lord, a broken spirit, the mellowness toward you, Lord, that we be more and more mellow and more sweet toward the things of God, so that being unencumbered with those things that lie within us, the word may have greater free course and be glorified. Then we'll know, Lord, that our actions run toward another, and all the things that we intend to do as Christians will be blessed of you, Father, and they will come forth in their due season. Teach us this way, Lord, to gain patience, because we know it is the only way we gain patience, and many of us have already learned that, but we're trying to learn more. May this time, Lord, of prayers we pray together, be fruitful in blessing each person, Lord, to be more amenable to your will, more and more filled with your word, and thereby more and more filled with your spirit. More and more, as Paul said, don't just live in the spirit, but you walk in the spirit. And that's what we're trying to see this afternoon, Lord, people who walk more and more in your spirit, because we believe we're being more and more filled. And so what can we say, Father? We can only say that if you have told us, if we're willing, we will know the truth. The truth will set us free. We will know the doctrine. And today, Father, we want your help, if we have to have it, which we believe we do, to become more and more yielded and willing to walk in these paths of righteousness for your name's sake, and that also for great and good for us and for each other. To build this church, Lord, not in numbers, but to build in the grace and the strength and the beauty and the nearness, Lord, all the things which are in you, Lord, that you have for us. This is what we want. And today is another step, we believe, toward preparing us for this great and wonderful work that you're doing in us. Not to be seen of anybody, no. You already told us that if they hated you, they'd hate us. And they won't like us. That's not what we're looking at, Father. We already know that. We're just looking at within. So we look within our hearts and toward each other who are believers and become one with you, you one with us, and all in each other, that we might be that expression that you want us to be. So help us, Lord, to gain strength at this time as we meet in your presence and pray for ourselves and for each other, that you might be glorified. And we in turn, Lord, be then satisfied within our hearts that we know we're walking and talking with you through this word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We just pray right away, and the Lord will bless you.